President Catherine Conley has promised to make Irish the working language of her presidency, not just a cúpla focal for the cameras, but emails, meetings, memos, all as Gaeilge, which got us thinking, could anyone else actually do that? Could a company, say like News Talk, decide that Irish would be the official office language? And if so, what would that mean for staff, HR, and presenters like myself who barely scraped through Leaving Cert Irish? Fáilte arás, Quig News Talk Daily, Ismisha Shane Beattie. And that's almost all the Irish you're getting from me on this podcast. Today we're exploring what it would take to make Irish a real working language in modern Ireland. Shortly I'll be joined by Louise Cantillon, presenter on Today FM and co-host of the bilingual How to Gael podcast, who lives and works through both Irish and English every single day. We'll also hear from Moira Grassick, HR expert with Peninsula Ireland, about the legal and practical side of bringing a language policy into the workplace. And later Natasha O'Flaherty from Heinz Pub and Stonybatter will send us a voice note about being Gaelgore friendly and why ordering a pint in Irish is positively encouraged. So, could Irish become a genuine working language again beyond the Dáil and the Gaeltacht, or is it destined to stay a noble aspiration best enjoyed over a Guinness and a few phrases we half remember? Louise Cantillon, thank you for joining us on News Talk Daily. Let's start with you. You are, of course, a well-known advocate for using our first national language, and people may not know, where does your grá from Gaeilge come from?
Well, do you good, Shane? Thought I could call an lat enough. Thanks for saying that. I suppose for me, Irish comes from home. Vi Gaeilge, Gaeilnic Fos and Nias. My mom reared us using Irish every single day. And I know that that's a privilege that not everybody has. And I'm so, so grateful that that was the way my rearing was. I went on to do my education through Gaeilge. I'm from a small rural parish in West Limerick called Kilcoran, and we didn't have a national school, Gael School. So I did my national school as Berila, but I suppose I had Gaeilge at home. And then into secondary school in Limerick, I was lucky that there was an Irish, only one at the time, one Irish speaking Gael School, Laurel Hill Cloister, where I did my secondary education, and then into college in UCC. And I continued to study Irish and to work, as you've mentioned, as Gaeilge Gach. So for us, I suppose it was very much part of who we were and the way we were reared.
See, for you, you're one of the lucky ones because it was kind of effortless for you growing up.
Do you know what? I would never say effortless. I grew up in a parish where English was all around us. Our neighbours, my school friends didn't speak as Gaeilge. So I suppose you were always kind of othered for having Gaeilge. And I do remember, you know, being picked up from school at the school gate. You'd nearly bow in your head, be like, shut up, mom, don't talk to me as Gaeilge. It's weird. It's not normal, you know. So I wouldn't say that it was something we looked at as being really an advantage at that age of our lives. But certainly now the older I have gotten, I realise how, you know, integral it is to me and my identity, and how grateful I am that that was the belief of my parents as well.
What do you make of the president's hope that she can make the business of Áras an Uachtaráin be conducted through Irish?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a hope for Catherine Connolly, President Catherine Connolly. I think it's a certainty, and I think it's phenomenal to have a leader that feels that way. And, you know, for Muintir na Gaeilge, Muintir na Gaeltachtaí, she's leading by example. And I think that's massive because, as you know, Shane, you know, the Irish language, it's the very heart of our identity as Irish people. It's who we are. And like, I feel as a millennial woman, I'm 32, you know, we've been failed by so many governments that have gone before. We are finding ourselves in a massive housing crisis, and it's really hard to find a tangible part of our culture that we can call our own. The language is there. It's as much mine as an Irish speaker as it is yours as someone who feels you don't have that much. And, you know, if that was taken from us, I'm not sure what we would be left in Ireland for us. It's everything. And, you know, it becoming a working language in the Áras, I think, just shows that it's not tokenistic, and it's a president that's leading by example, and hopefully many workplaces will follow suit.
Yeah, you got to meet President Connolly during the campaign because she came on your podcast. Did you get a sense then of why Irish is so important to her?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, you know, Catherine had a brilliant story to tell us on the podcast. She grew up and, like so many others, didn't have the best level of Irish coming out of school. She didn't come out of secondary school a fluent speaker. She wasn't reared in a Gaeltacht area. So she went back and studied Irish. And I think that this is something that, you know, people don't often acknowledge. People say, you know, that Irish is so hard. I didn't learn it at school. Therefore, I can't speak it. I can't use it. Like, I was brutal at maths when I was in school. So if I had to do anything mathematical now, I'd have to go back and put work, sit down with the subject and improve my skills. The same goes for Irish. And I think President Connolly is a great example of that. You know, she had such respect and love for the importance of the Irish language that she went back to upskill, to retrain and to learn to speak it really well. So for her, I think that all of that work, she would never have done that if it didn't mean that much to her, you know. And as Irish people, I think there's a massive positive surge towards the language. We're seeing it. I see it every day on Today FM. I've correspondence bilingually. We see it with our podcast, How to Gael. And there's an appetite there, and there's a shift, and people don't want it to be something tokenistic or symbolic. They want it to be a living language.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So speaking to me here on the podcast, you're kind of casually throwing in Irish phrases. I know you do this on Today FM. I was in my Indian barber's the other day and he had Today FM on and you were on air. I just thought it's amazing to hear Irish in front of, you know, people from different parts of the world as he was cutting my hair. Do listeners want that kind of interaction?
Of course, I think so. Why not? And I mean, it's never anything that people sometimes say to me, do you plan to do these links bilingually? It's how I speak, Shane. Honestly, it's how I speak with my friends and my family. And I think there's a lot of people who also similarly use the cúpla focal that they have, or maybe in Gaeltacht areas or not, use Gaeilge Golaehul every day. And it's just about normalizing that, I think, and letting people, you know, sometimes I feel that people, there is that muinean, there is that confidence that comes with Gaeilge and people feeling, I don't have enough, I am scared to use it. And I completely get that. I really empathize with that. And I suppose having a national platform every day allows me an opportunity to tell people it is accessible. Even if it's a focal no go, please use it. Get in touch with the show bilingually, or don't, or just take it in and walk away maybe with a new word, whatever it is.
You have been told to focal off before, though, haven't you?
I absolutely have. But you'll always have the naysayers. Listen, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. You know, I'm sure that it's not for everybody. But for me, I feel sorry for people who close off that door and step away from the Gaeilge, particularly if they're someone who is very proud to be Irish, because I think nothing says Irish pride like our language. It's thousands of years old. It's incomparable to anything else that we have. It's beautifully poetic and stunning and historic. There's words that don't even exist in English. So by owning the language, by having the language, I think for me, there's nothing that makes me more proud.
Yeah, but you say we should give it a go. But for some of us who don't speak Irish, we kind of feel a bit scared, or we feel that maybe there's a bit of snobbery if we get it wrong.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I mean, there is that, you know, I have heard people speak about this idea of people with the language gatekeeping. And I would like to say, you know, that absolutely isn't the case in any of my experiences. And if it is, I'm sorry that anyone has experienced that. For the most part, you know, anyone who's making an iarracht or an effort with Irish, that's always going to be applauded. That's always going to be welcomed. You know, everybody wants the language to thrive. They want it to move in from the margins and become normalized and become a daily living language. The only way it can become a living language is if people's mentality change towards it and they start to incorporate it. And it is really hard to do. It's really hard to kick down that mental, idea of I'm not good enough. That's really hard. But when you can get over that and start small by a focal no go and use what you have, you'd be surprised how your confidence will build. And I think, look, like we've seen other European models being rolled out. Wales is always a really good example. And, you know, it's all about, I think, the collective buy-in and it becoming a language that people feel they can speak, they want to speak it, and it's accessible even to those with not that much. The resources need to be there. And like anything, unfortunately, Shane, it is a tough subject to crack. Like, people need to put the work in as well. If you are serious about wanting to speak as Gaeilge, you need to sit down and, you know, you need to put the work into it. Come on.
So if we were talking Irish in the workplace, if I meet you at the water cooler, what is your advice to me? Should I give it a go?
Cade von Gades, came fall. Why would you not?
Well, true. Yes. I need to think about what I would reply to you, though, because I'm not confident with the language.
You could say Louise taught you and Fechens Gahal, you know.
But you are right, though, because in Spain, I'd give it a go with a waiter. Do you know what I mean? Or in the airport or whatever. But maybe we don't give it a go here as much.
Completely, completely. I say this all the time. Do you know what? If you were over ordering a pint in your holidays in Spain, you'd say dos cervezas, por favor. 'Tis the same thing. I'm very sure that people could go in and order their morning coffee, as Gaeilge, cappuccino, le de hull. whatever, and start small. And then as your confidence builds, also, I will say, like, there's incredible resources available. There's so many online courses. There's so many online. How to Gael is a great podcast. It's bilingual. We always refer to ourselves as the gateway drug, you know, for people who feel like you and just want an in, you know, and something that's accessible. Like, we're not asking anybody to go rad gonna Gael Tuxa on it and come in tomorrow morning and have a full conversation through Gaelga. Do you know what? I struggle at times as well. And I'm very sure I make so many mistakes every day. Ask Gaelga and Osperla, who speaks any language perfectly. But it's about the want and the, you know, the effort.
Okay, well, stay with us, Louise, because people across the country are playing their own part in encouraging the use of Irish in the workplace. And Natasha O'Flaherty runs Heinz's Pub in Dublin's Stonybatter, and she sent us this voice note.
My name is Natasha O'Flaherty. I'm from North Tore in Connemara, County Galway. And I am one of the owners of Heinz Bar, just up there on Prussia Street in Stonybatter, Dublin 7. We are an Irish-speaking bar. We're open about 4 years now, I think. And about 3.5 years ago, we decided to incorporate the Irish language into the bar, obviously. I'm fluent in Irish. Sean is the manager, and he's also fluent in Irish. He's from Longford, so he would have done Irish in school. And thankfully, I mean, it was a massive success. We decided that we were going to do 1 euro off if you ordered Ask Gaeilge, like ordered in Irish, just to encourage people to use whatever couple of fuckle they had, you know, the few words they have. And yeah, it has been very successful. I have to say, we have Irish speakers coming in every day. It's great to see, you know, you have some tables that are speaking Irish amongst each other. Like, and like, sometimes I feel like I'm back home in Connemara, you know, it is great. I mean, we have people from all walks of life as well that come in, people that don't have a word of Irish. And that's the thing. We don't care what level of Irish you have. We just want to encourage people to just use whatever words they have. And if they don't have any words, we don't mind teaching as well, you know, if we're not too busy behind the bar, of course. But that most of the staff that we hire would have a small bit of Irish from obviously primary school or secondary school, but wouldn't have been that confident using it. But I tell you, like, working in the bar 2 weeks, they'd have their confidence back in using the words they have, you know. Obviously, I think what's happened now with the likes of Catherine Connolly, you know, she's championing the Irish in places like Áras an Uachtaráin. It is a great reflection, I think, of the same kind of movement that I'm trying to do, maybe. We're both bringing the language back into public life in obviously like a kind of natural way. We have the pub and the alcohol now. She doesn't. I don't think people in the does Áras an Uachtaráin have a bar, like? But there's definitely a bit more Dutch courage in Heinz if you want to try speak Irish, you know. The more we hear it, the more we use it, the more natural it becomes. And eventually, one day in the future, we'll all be speaking Irish. We'll all be having conversations with each other in Irish, you know. I think that's what we want to get to at some point in the future, of course. But for now, it's like small steps, I suppose. And yeah, if you're not too confident and, you know, using your few words in Irish, come up to Heinz, have a few jars, and you'll be flat out having a conversation with us by the end of the night.
Well, maybe if my workplace gave me free pints, I might speak more Irish. That's Natasha O'Flaherty there from Heinz Pub in Stonybatter. Now, as I said, I'm also joined here on News Talk Daily by HR expert Moira Grassick from Peninsula Ireland. You're very welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So let's start with the basics. The question we're asking here on today's podcast: could a company in Ireland legally decide to make Irish its working language?
So there is no legal requirement in relation to language in the workplace. What we do find is, though, a lot of companies decide to use English at the moment as their preferential language, ultimately because it's the more of a universal language and most people will speak it or understand it. So most organisations and most businesses now have a multicultural workforce, and most of those will speak English or will have a particular level of English. We don't see too many companies that will pick Irish as being their language choice. Sometimes you'll see it down in the Gaeltacht area, etc., like that, there may be companies that will speak Irish. But in the main, most companies will have a policy in place rather than a legal requirement for individuals to speak English.
I'll ask you the other question then. Could a company in Ireland legally decide to make English its working language?
There's no law around what type of language that you actually use. It's normally to make the work environment a little bit easier for people to work in when everybody's communicating in the same language. What you obviously need to be careful of that is that individuals don't feel like they're being isolated or they're being discriminated against because they don't have a particular level of any particular language that is actually the main choice of language within the business.
Now, in defence of HR people who often don't get defended a lot, if a business decided to operate through Irish, what sort of headache would it be for HR departments?
Like, I think at this present moment in time, and you obviously said it earlier on, like the Irish language, I suppose, amongst the Irish population, it probably isn't at the level that you would need for a business to operate productively in, or that the performance wouldn't be able to be at the level of what it is. However, there's nothing wrong with a company that may decide that they want to promote the Irish language or any language within that business. And sometimes you'll find that the group of people, for example, may want to come together and create some sort of a group, or maybe do, we see some things now like that there may be the Irish word of the day. Definitely there has been a surge in the Irish language over the last couple of months, I'm going to say. You know, I think we all hear it a little bit more on the radio, etc. like that as well. And so people may decide that they're going to have a word of the day or a phrase of the day, or there may be some book clubs, etc. like that, that they decide to try and do in Irish. And there's no reason why companies can't do that and start off small and maybe start building on that and bringing the Irish language in.
And then if you had this policy, we're going to make Irish the working language of the office, are you then veering into discrimination if you don't employ someone who speaks the Cúpla Focal?
Like, there's a possibility that you are, particularly on the basis that somebody may not have grown up in Ireland, so they might not know the Irish language whatsoever. They may be from Ireland or they may be somewhere else, and you're kind of isolating them. So there's a possibility that there could be a discrimination claim. We have had some cases that have been taken to tribunal in relation to companies using English, for example, as the main language. And they've been able to objectively justify the reason and the rationale behind it. And basically, the main reason is to make business much more fluid and much easier to work in when there's one coherent language. The other thing that you sometimes find is when people speak a different language and somebody else within that group don't speak that language, unfortunately, you have this automatic presumption that they may be saying something bad about you or talking about something that makes you feel uncomfortable. And individuals then may say they're being discriminated against because they don't speak a particular language. And the same thing could happen if a company decided to bring in the Irish language and there was 50% that could speak it and 50% that couldn't, or, you know, that could cause a bit of an issue.
It sounds like HR people wouldn't touch this with a barge pole.
Like, I think they would probably have a look at it and see what's the best way of phrasing it in. Because I don't think there's a way to say, no, look, obviously it's our state language and it's great that it's getting its surgence in relation to it. I definitely don't think it's going to happen overnight. I think it's going to be small steps in relation to it, and it will take a bit of time to get some momentum in relation to it. But overall, there is no reason why the use of the Irish language can't come into the workplace, but would have to be at a very lower level, and it would take a bit of time to build that particular culture.
And it could be very positive.
It could be really positive,
You know, for promoting Ireland as a country, for promoting your brand, for promoting culture, it could actually be very, very successful.
Absolutely. And it's also kind of shown that, you know, sometimes people like to deal with people in Irish. People are really proud of their heritage. You know, from a customer experience perspective, there may be some people that would like to speak in Irish. So that can be all really beneficial for our business as well. And it's also shown sometimes that when you advertise or you talk about your product or your service within Irish, people are more inclined to have a look at it and stand up and take a little bit more attention to that as well.
Even organising sort of lunchtime Askeilge meetups or whatever, you do have to be careful that you don't alienate some staff.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, I mean, it's a language the same as every other language that is out there. You know, so it's fine for you to organise these events and to have these cultural days, etc., once everybody has been included in it. And it may be that you start off doing some sort of an Irish, for example, cultural day, but you make sure that the English is in the background, or that the Polish or whatever other type of culture that you may have in your business and different languages in it, so that everybody understands and that everybody can become part of it. One of the things that we see a lot of when people are trying to do some sort of team building days is people may bring in food from the different nationalities and have like a big lunch and all that sort of stuff. And people like to test what the cultures have, etc. And it's the same with the language. People like to test what other languages people have. I think as businesses, we're probably more inclined to talk in European languages that we all probably have a one or two when we go on holidays to Spain or to France, etc. like that we've picked up. And there might be a little bit more of a fear there in relation to the Irish language. But once you make that the norm and bring in the same as you do any other language, it should be okay.
Well, we saw a report from Trinity this week that learning more languages is very good for the brain. By the way, did you have any HR concerns when you heard what Áras an Uachtaráin is going to do?
I think it depends on the people that are working in the business. The problem is going to be if somebody hasn't got the same level of English, of Irish, as another person does, and you're looking at things like promotion and progression and all of those type of things that could cause a real problem for the ORAs if people are being prevented from being promoted and moved on based on the fact that they don't have the level of Irish that may be required or may be expected.
Well, we'll send this podcast to President Connolly. She can listen to it. Louise, just to ask you, now we've heard it all, do you think we'll ever see Irish companies beyond Gaeltacht areas fully operating Oscailge?
I think we absolutely will, Shane. And Lacoon of Day, Tosheg Tacht, Ganvoil, I hope that it's something that will happen, you know, in my lifetime for sure. And I wanted to just quote Catherine Connolly to you because I thought this was one of the most beautiful ways to put it. She said throughout her campaign and again when she was being inaugurated, she said, "For too long, we have looked upon Irish as if it was a problem. It's not a problem. It's a complete gift." And Aon Thiamlay, I couldn't agree with her more. It's a gift we all own.
Ciarán galore. Moira and Louise, thank you. Gurv Míle Maggov. Don't forget you can listen to Louise on Today FM each weekday at noon and weekly on How to Gael wherever you get your podcast, but only of course after listening to every episode of News Talk Daily. And while we're plugging, a shout out to Splunk with Cún Ó-Fhlárata on News Talk every Friday evening from 10 p.m. That is it from the News Talk Daily podcast for this week. Hope you all have a lovely weekend. Until next time, Slán.